Ask the Podcast Coach for October 4th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. It's officially October. Wasn't it just like a month ago we said, wow, it's September? But it is. Time is flying, and we gather here every Saturday for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you can get your questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and joining me, as always, the lovely, the talented, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Let's see, what other cliches could I throw in there? Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. How are you, Jim?
You're always so nice to me, Dave. I always feel like I can't talk until you've done that announcement, right? Until you've invited me to be on the show. Happy Saturday morning to you. I always say that, and it's good to be around the cold air. Coldness is in the air. Fall is in the air is probably what we should say. Here, at least in North America, or this part of North America. Although I spent a couple days down in Florida working. I was down in Gainesville working.
Mm-hmm. Fall
is
nice.
Not there yet. Yeah, fall's not there yet.
Yeah, we watched the weather report, and it was like, you know, 50s, and I woke up today, it was 46, and my wife's kind of like, and check this out. I didn't even get to play the jingle yet, and we have a caller.
Oh, good.
Ending in, we'll throw them on the air here. There we go. Ending in 9118. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Dave, this is Fred Castaneda speaking from podcastreporter.com. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Congratulations on the news about you being the manager for the podcast track on NMX. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much. That was... a fun couple of days, because I've known that for the better part of the week and couldn't tell anybody. So I'm sitting at the Cleveland.
Right. Go
right ahead.
Oh, I had two things besides that I wanted to mention to you.
Okay.
Number one, this week, Pod Move U, that is Pod Move University, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a good news. As you know, I've had a couple of episodes on podcastreporter.com where I went there day one, was definitely disappointed. And then 6 weeks later, after the Podcast Movement Conference, I went and I reevaluated it, and it was, you know, the same thing, a big disappointment. And unfortunately, they were taking money without delivering the value they promised. And, you know, these guys had, shall we say, they had three things going on. They had Podcast Movement, the conference, which is a full-time endeavor. Then they were also creating this other electronic online conference called Podcaster Summit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but that podcastersummit.com. And then they had this Pod Move University, which was kind of like, think of it this way. It was a nice to have, a part-time, let's do it. Boy, it would really be cool. But they never really were serious about it. The only thing they were serious about was taking your money. And, you know, I suggested many times that perhaps maybe they should have gone with the freemium model for the first year in order to get feedback, fix it up, and really provide the value. Because as you know, Dave and Jim, this has been tried before, twice before. In 2006, remember Jason Van Orden tried to have a podcasting university?
Mm-hmm.
He even published it in his book called Promoting Your Podcast. And it failed even before it got off the ground. And then the second time, Canadian podcaster, actually internet broadcaster, whom we both know from Naked Ape Productions, tried Podcast U, and it didn't go anywhere. So I've been trying to raise my hands and wave the red flag saying, hey, guys, there's something wrong here. But anyway, it's now shut down, and they say they're going to reopen in the fall, but we're going to see. I personally have canceled my subscription to it and will not be a part of it anymore, especially if they continue to, you know, do it part-time and, shall we say, you know, half-cocked. The second thing I wanted to alert you was on Podcaster Summit. And I don't know if any of your audience today has seen Podcaster Summit, but it is an online conference. And if you take a look at it at podcastersummit.com, the same two guys who did PodMove University are doing this. And it's basically a handful of the young podcasters who presented at podcastmovement.com. It's a handful of them doing their pitches. And I would say that if you really look at it, it could be just a dry run for NMX if they make the applications and get accepted. So this is good, I think, and it has a good and bad side. The good side is if you didn't go to Podcast Movement And if you want to see these guys and what they have to say, then this could be a good electronic conference for you over the course of a week. That's two presentations per evening from January 20th to the 29th, weekends excluded, where you can actually get that content. And so that's the good news. And if you're not going to go to NMX, this may be a good way for you to get the content that they will probably present at NMX, because you know as well as I do that when people are creating their presentations, usually what they do is they have a standard presentation that they update at the last moment for different conferences. So people who can't go to either one, Podcast Movement or NMX, may be able to get that content from them. But I think the price is a little steep. It's like $95. And the only reason I know is because the people who cancel their subscriptions, the people who paid money and were told at the last minute last week that Todd Movie University is shutting down, they get free access to this one, a $97 value, I think it was. So anyway, Dave, I'll let you talk.
That's all right. Thanks for the update. And of course, you can find Fred over at podcastreporter.com. And that's actually Jared and Dan again from Podcast Movement. And I'm looking for, it's $97 through Halloween.
To October 31st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after that, it's $197. And I've heard about this. I actually talked to Jared this week because I knew Podcast Movement was going down, and I'm like, hey, if you want, I know a place where you can send them. And he's a great guy. And yeah, actually, he kind of came to the same, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, where if you can't do something right, you know, I started a membership site for the Logical Weight Loss podcast. And in the end, I really couldn't do that the way I wanted it to. And I just thought, you know, if I can't do this right, I don't want to do it. And it's hard to do. It really is, because you have to kind of, A, admit that you're not delivering the value that you need to. And then secondly, you know, you have to disappoint the people who did sign up. So it's not an easy thing to do. But we'll see what happens in the fall. I think a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, how this Podcaster Summit goes. You know, it may be that they just find out that, hey, they're really good at events, and who knows? But Jared's a good guy. It was interesting.
I'm not saying anything about the individuals. I'm just saying the idea they had and treating it as a kind of casual part-time endeavor is something you don't do when you're taking money from people and promising the world. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but in the two bonus episodes that I had in Podcast Reporter, you know, since July, I was there day one at midnight when it opened. On those two podcast episodes, I compared PodMove University and its value and the features and benefits you got. I compared it to Daniel J. Lewis's Podcast Masterclass, to the Podcaster's Paradise from John Lee Dumas, and also to the School of Podcasting and to this particular program, as the podcast coach. And, of course, I don't know if you're aware of it, Dave, but your program was actually less expensive than theirs. It was lower cost and provided tons of value that they were searching for because they had very little. And so you can't treat this thing. And we've all been there, Dave. I mean, I was there in my premium cast infrastructure back in 2008. You saw the beginnings of it. And, of course, premium cast went down. So, you know, the membership site that I was building, I never launched because at the last minute I found out I couldn't deliver the value either. So, you know, we all go through this, I think, at different times. The only sad thing is that they didn't think this through and have any kind of a test run or get feedback from people before they launched it. They just did it. And that's one thing maybe perhaps your audience can take as a lesson learned, is you have to get feedback, testing, and if you're going to do something, do it on a freemium model of some sort so you can get the feedback, you can get the requirements, and then you can validate those requirements against something else. Tim Berkman did this, by the way, if you remember, the founder of the Podcast Portable Media Expo. You know how he did it? He flew everybody at his cost to Seattle, all the big guns, you know, the Paul Colligans of the world, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He flew them up to Seattle, got their feedback, said, here's what we want to do this event. And they talked about it for a day or two so he can get their requirements and see that they would support it if he included their requirements, which he did and which they did. That's why it came off very well. So you've got to get that feedback either from the luminaries or from the subject matter experts or the people who are very influential in this area, the trusted advisors and also the mentors and what we call is the thought leaders. But anyway, Dave, I just wanted to share this with your audience in case they hadn't heard about it, because if they were thinking about signing up for PodMoveU, well, a good thing that they know about it ahead of time,
sure,
so that they don't go and do something like that. Anyway, Dave, sorry to get on my, I'm not on my soapbox, just wanted to relate these two things. If they want to find out more about the details, episode 23 of podcastreporter.com goes into detail with a note and everything that was said about PodMoveU.
Awesome. Thank you, Fred.
Okay, well, thank you, and your audience are doing a great job. Dave, I really like this show. It brings a lot of value to the podcaster community, and the one thing that people don't realize is that this is free, where other people charge for it.
Yeah, it is. It's come on down.
Every week.
Yeah, every week. It's our way of giving back.
Well, you got a little sleeping giant, so I just say hi to all the folks that are there in the chat room. I'll join you in a second. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Fred. Great. Thanks, Fred.
Yep. And I actually do have an affiliate link for that. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/podcaster summit, that should, in theory, take you there.
I even learned things about this just being on the show, because I wasn't aware of this was going on. So
yeah,
good for me.
I forget how I found it. I have 8 billion blogs and alerts, and all of a sudden it was like, yeah, I mean, there are so many people teaching podcasting now. It happens a lot. So when this came on, and then I heard about it from Fred's show that it had shut down. I am a listener, Fred, and it's a great venue for Fred, because Fred is his background is he came from many years at IBM, and he's kind of a Guy Friday, man. He's a just the facts kind of guy, and he gets to it and blah blah blah. And he comes on, and, you know, I am your podcast reporter, and, you know, just let you know what's going on. So it's, Ryan says he hadn't heard anything about that. So it's a new one.
So you had put a post out at podcastnews.com as well, right?
Is it Podcaster News?
It's Podcaster. You're right. It is podcasternews.com.
Yeah. So it's kind of, depending on how you look at it, there are those that would say, oh, it's kind of the, you know, it's John Lee Dumas, Chris Ducker, Kate Erickson, who does an interesting show called Kate's Take, and it's behind the scenes of Entrepreneur on Fire, and it's actually a book that she put together called The Fire Path, and she gave the whole thing away in a podcast. Leslie Samuel, who was interesting because his job landed him a job as a professor in a college, his podcast, and he's now quit that job years later, I understand, now to do podcasting full-time. Robert Sesternino, who I just had on my show not too long ago. Tim Page, who's the guy from Lead Pages, who is great. Lou Mangiello, who's Mr. WDW Radio. And the rest, Chris, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Sensik. I know he's the guy behind LA Podfest. So, and what's interesting is they're calling it the Business Podcaster Summit. So if you're like, well, it was all about entrepreneurship, well, no, it was called the Business Podcaster Summit. And so don't be surprised when there's nothing there about sci-fi and, you know, racing and knitting and hobby kind of stuff. It is for people that are looking to boost their business, and it should be interesting. So,
Dave, Ryan's looking for Fred's site. Where would we go again to find Fred?
It is – let me make sure, because I get him confused with yes, man, names are not my strong suit today. Paul Culligan has the podcast report. Fred is podcastreporter.com. And I'm making sure there's, yeah, because Paul, you need a the. Yes, Paul is the podcast report. Fred is podcastreporter.com. And it's a lot of times it's just breaking news kind of stuff. Like, we just found out about this, and it's short and sweet, and he gets to the point, gives you the news, and gets out. So it's a pretty cool way to keep up. He reports on what's going on in the space, and so where Paul is doing this, it's the same topic from different aspects. So you get different views from the hosts and such, and Fred's. Was funny, his one episode on PodMove, he kept he would like back himself out and go, editor note, la da 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 da, and throw in his own opinion and go, end of note. And then he'd go back to, now back to the facts kind of thing. It was like, oh, that's kind of funny. He was putting in his little two cents there. I thought that was cool. But we probably should mention, if you want to get back on the phone line, that number is 845-262-2401. 845-262-2401. And we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. So if you're listening on Spreaker or you found us on YouTube, the chat room that we are talking about, you can find at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And the fun part of that, if you're a new listener, you'll actually see that we're streaming the audio and the video, and you kind of have to pick one and go with it, because otherwise we look like we're in a bad Godzilla movie and things of that nature. But Fred kind of mentioned, I guess, my big news of the week, which was, I am now the podcast director, or director of podcasting at New Media Expo. And here's the interesting thing about it, because I thought about it. I'd had some people say, you should apply for that job. And it's weird because I went through the same stage as you do when you launch a podcast. There's the, oh, well, why would I do that? I'm just Dave. And so you have that thing. And then there's the scaredy cat moment, because you think about it. I'm going to disappoint somebody. There's no way around this. I'm going to disappoint somebody, because I know so many people that somebody's going to think, well, surely Dave will let me speak, because I've known him since, you know, whenever. I was there on episode 2, and that's going to kill me. That's the part that I went, oh, that is just going to kill me.
The committee together.
Yeah, and well, yeah, I've had people come out of the woodwork and say, if you need a sounding wall, I'm your guy. And then the other thing is, I thought, so what's the worst thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? Number one, I don't have to do a whole lot because it's already running. I just got to make sure I don't break it. You know what I mean? Cliff has done a great job. He inherited it from Paul Culligan, who, you know, Rob Walsh was the guy behind it. So it's a matter of just don't break it. My main job is finding and defining what podcasters are at, you know, who are speaking at the expo. I'm not sure exactly, you know, I'm not involved with advertising. I don't know. That's the fun part. I don't actually know what my job description is. Besides, I get to help pick the people that speak. And I just know that somewhere down the line, somebody's going to go, I can't believe he picked that guy, and I've listened to his show forever. And I'm like, okay, that's probably going to happen. And then I thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you need to count on that.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought about it, and here's why I'm prepared for this. You ready? I'm married. And I disappoint my wife more times than not. And now obviously my audience isn't married to me. They're not like, well, I can't leave. I picked you. But it's going to be interesting to do. And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, obviously it's a great opportunity. And I've had opportunities in the past that I didn't take. And I've kind of gone, I probably should have manned up on that one. So when this one came along, I was like, all right, I'm sure the pros are going to outweigh the cons. And,
it'll be good for you. It's a great opportunity. You know, you've been kind of preparing for this moment for a long time.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 years, you've been getting ready for something like this. So
the story behind it is kind of cool. At least I think it's – well, of course I think it's cool, because I like the way it ended. But Rick reached out to a couple people, one of which was Rob Walsh. Another one was Todd Cochran. And another one was Rob Greenlee from, you know, previously of Microsoft, now with Podcast One. And one name kept coming up, and I was like, that's kind of cool. And they all had really nice things to say about me. He talks about this on the blog post. So that made me smile. And I was like, okay, well, you know, if these people think I can do it, and I've been thrown in other things that, that I had no idea what I was doing. When I was in college, I was a writer. I got talked into writing for the student newsletter, and I would do movie reviews, and they were funny and somewhat entertaining. And the guy behind it, the teacher that ran the newsletter, whatever you call it, the advisor, just me and him clicked big time. And so next year I go back to, you know, another year of school, and he's like, hey, Jackson. I'm like, what? And he goes, or should I say editor Jackson? And I'm like, what do you mean editor? He goes, you're the editor of the newsletter. I'm like, when did that happen? And he's like, well, here's the deal. Everybody else graduated. He goes, you are the newsletter staff. And I'm like, dude, have you ever seen – I'm like, you've graded my papers. I have no way can edit somebody. He's like, no. He goes, that's what I do. I work out the grammar and stuff. He goes, but you got to find a team and you've got to do this and that. And when I took over that newsletter, we didn't have a computer. We didn't have an office. And yet I had to put together this newsletter, and I did. And by the time I then got ready to graduate myself, we had an office, we had a computer, we had a staff of about 5 people, you know, and you just kind of put it together. And again, I was in the position to kind of tell people, yeah, I'm not running that story. That's, you know, or let's work it a different way or things like that. And, you know, you get through it. So,
yeah, you figure it out. You know, it's like anything. That first year is just incredibly crazy, messy, you know, and then you learn some things, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You can't listen to everyone. Mm-hmm. You really got to kind of pick a core and go with it. At some point, you need to cut things off. You know, you have to set deadlines. I think that's when you're gathering, when you have a group and you're gathering a group of speakers. You know, we have our high school interns starting this. They started last week. I'm here on the Gallup campus again this week, and to week's number 2. And their assignment from me this week was to pick a blog. They had to pick a blog. They could do anything they wanted. I mentioned WordPress, Tumblr, and Blogger if they wanted to go that way. I don't want to influence them too much. I wanted to see really what they'd come up with, because with these kids, there's some new. You know, they're always coming up. Yeah, those crazy kids. You know, they're always coming up with new stuff, and I want to learn from them too. And so they were submitting their blogs. Well, I told them, you know, that we meet Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock. That's the start time here. Last night at 11 o'clock, I was getting submissions. Here's, sorry, this is late. You know, they're pumping in, right? It's one of those kinds of things. And so if you don't set a deadline, right, you have to, what you're doing, if you don't set a deadline, you're trying to gather those kinds of things. And you got to kind of be a jerk about it sometimes and say, I'm sorry, the deadline was last Monday. I know you're fantastic, but you didn't get your submission in time. Sorry. I mean, you have to set some of those when you're running a conference like that. I think you have to set some of those hard and fast rules to say. And I've run tons of these, so I know. And then there's times I think you have to make exceptions, right? It's just you have to individualize based on it, you know, and you got something that's really working and you got a person that, you know, they're late, you know why, and you got to kind of massage it. It is political. Yeah. You're about to enter a world that's just super political in nature. And so I don't wish that upon anybody, but congratulations for getting that. Cause that's you're in for a lot of work.
Yeah.
And a lot of thankless work. And I don't mean to say this in a negative way, and I'm not trying to discourage you in this. And you know what you're in for. I'm just thinking about the average listener who thinks, well, I could do that. And I'm like, man, you're going into about the most thankless job, because you make half the people happy and the other half mad, and the happy people don't say anything to you and the mad people do. You know?
Yeah. And the first person to congratulate me, of course, was one Cliff Ravenscraft, who's been super nice. And we have to schedule a time to kind of officially pass the baton and figure out. I sent him an email and I've said, we'll have to connect some time and figure out, you know, I don't want to make the same mistakes he did. Yeah. Pass the baton.
Yeah.
Find out what he did. And because
you'll make all your own mistakes. That's the thing. Right? Yeah. Everybody thinks, well, I'm not going to make any mistakes. Well, you're not trying if you're not making mistakes. So. Yeah. You know, you'll want to add your own flair and flavor. And I'm sure you've seen this. There's things you've been thinking about this for a while that, like, man, if I did this, I would do it so differently. The eating crow part of that is, you know, whenever you're in doing, and I know all our podcasts, all our listeners have probably had this happen. They've been to an event and they're like, man, if I did this, I'd do it completely different. And then you get a chance to do an event, you do it completely different, and sometimes it's a horrible failure. And you're like, oh, maybe my way wasn't so good. So you get a chance to kind of try out some of, and sometimes it's great. I mean, I've had some very successful events like that that are very beneficial.
Yeah,
so
I'm not.
It works out.
I'm not sure how much I'm involved. As far as I know, none. Again, I have yet to have my official long talk with Rick, but in terms of like sponsorship and, you know, things that I have just no control over, we shall see. I think my main thing is getting, and here's what it is. I have to find people. I have to get, you know, it always comes back to content. So I'll be looking at those submissions. My plan is, I think I'm going to do this, and I might be making it much harder than it needs to. I would like to have my wife read me the submissions without the name.
That's a good idea.
Then I want to go through and look at the names without the content and kind of cross-reference those a little bit. The other thing that I have to, there is, you know, and then just the other thing I want to look at is I'm going to go through all my podcast movement back catalog. Because the other thing is a classic example, I went to, and this was at New Media Expo. I went to a thing on Google analytics. And there was a guy from Google there. So here you go. Great content. Great topic. Somebody who's a master, probably, of that topic. Presentation skills were not there. And the presentation wasn't there. And I was kind of disappointed at the end. It wasn't horrible. It just was like, oh boy, you know, it took him a long time to get to the software. So what I'm looking at this as, to a certain extent, grading papers. If we go back to my teaching background, you know, and I'm going to be looking for takeaways. And then I might be a little more – see, this is where I don't know how hands-on Cliff was. Like, I might be bugging you to go, hey, give me your two-minute pitch of this. Let's see where you're at now. What are your goals and objectives and things like that? And kind of – you don't have to do the presentation the way I would do it, because I don't want to take you out of it. But I want to make sure – I guess what I don't want to do – and not so much at New Media Expo, but at other places I've been to, I've seen where you throw a panel together and they just wing it. And I'm like, no, that's not going to.
You should think about having them submit a 5-minute video presentation along with their, you know, with their with their presentation. You know, and maybe it needs to be something where they've either done it live or they're doing a video pitch for you.
Yeah, but I'm really trying to take, you know, because I know no matter what I do. People are going to go, oh, he just picked his friends. He just picked his.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Well, you've got a lot of friends.
And that's
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You know a lot of people. Yeah, you're going to pick some of your friends. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't deny that. I think you are off to a good start. I like the idea of separating the names from the presentations. Yeah. And I think you're off to a good start. Hey, let's talk a little bit about National Podcast Day, because we haven't came and went in the time that we are here. I know you did a meetup. Tell me a little bit about your meetup and what happened. I know you got live on Podcasters Roundtable, right?
Yeah, that was weird. Not something I would recommend for your first meetup. It was something that just kind of coincided. I didn't think about that when I did that on National Podcast Day. I had the meetup, didn't know at the time we were going to do a Podcasters Roundtable. And they were into it for about the first 15, 20 minutes. And they were like, well, I kind of came here to talk to Dave and Roundtable. We have our own little Roundtable. So they weren't completely bored. Right. But we had, I think, 7 people, which wasn't bad for the first time. And what was interesting is, and this is where you kind of get blown away sometimes, Brandon came from Canton, Ohio. North Canton, actually, which was about an hour and 40 minutes away. And he took the day off afterwards. Like, he took that day off to come and the day afterwards, because he knew he was going to – because we sat there and just chatty Cathy'd all night. We didn't end till 10 o'clock. So he knew he must work early in the morning. So he knew he was going to be late getting home. And that was just like, wow. It was, you know – the fact that he was like, no, I'm into this, and he's got his website, he's got his podcast. But that was the one thing what really was kind of cool is I expected it to be a lot of podcasters. And of the, if you count me, I think there was like 8, maybe 9 people. I mean, it was a pretty good group. 3 actually had podcasts. And the rest were all, you know, do I need a mixer? And which is cool, you know, for me. Yeah.
They were listeners, or were they aspiring podcast?
Well, I had 3 people who had no idea who I was. That was even cooler. I'm like, awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
They came in on the Eventbrite?
They came in from meetup.com.
Okay, meetup. Okay.
And
SEO, I'm telling you, powerful.
Yeah, and so that was cool. And then we had a couple of people that, you know, oh, man, I've been listening to you forever, so that was kind of cool. But, yeah, most of them, one guy's been planning his podcast for a couple of years, and I was like, it's time to pull the trigger. You know, there's planning, and then there's, you know, paralysis by analysis. Got a couple guys that are going to be probably putting one out at the end of the month. But they're at that spot where I hate my voice. I don't want to look stupid, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you just got to get past that.
You know, and then we've got to figure out, because some of them did come from Akron, which is about an hour south. So we're trying to figure out. I mean, it's technically, I thought I'd pull a lot of people from actual Cleveland. And you know, when you have 20% of your audience coming from, you know, an hour south, it's like, all right, we might move a little bit south.
It's the first one, and maybe you do too. And maybe you are the, you know, you're the glue, right? You do Cleveland, you do Akron.
Yeah.
And you know, and you travel for those. And so you give people maybe every other month they switch locations.
And I thought by having it at 7, people could grab something to eat and get there. You got to have food. You meet someplace where there's food, we met at my day gig, so we had like vending machines. You know, it's like, look, it's chips and Coke. Enjoy. Here, yeah. Snickers, it really satisfies.
Yeah. A snack or pizza or something, yeah. Right? Just something to, you know, pizza's cheap, yeah. But something, yeah.
And then the other thing that I didn't think about, and again, normally I wouldn't be doing this, is with the podcasters roundtable, how are they going to hear it? Because I couldn't blast the speakers in the room because it would create. Right. And so luckily I was at my day job and we all have headphones all over the place. So we all, you know, they all logged into a computer and watched, which they said was even weirder because I was talking live and then they had to wait for the delay.
Yeah, 30 seconds in a lot of cases. Yeah. So it was really weird.
But it was.
Did they like that experience? I would find we did that at a meetup, one of our early tech meetups. We did that where we tried to podcast during the meetup, and I felt like it was a huge distraction to the meetup. I mean, it was cool. It sounds cool on paper. Did you find it was a distraction, or did you find that those guys found that helpful?
They thought it was cool. Like I said, they hung with me for about 20 minutes, and for them, you know, they came to learn about podcasting. We're talking about the history of podcasting and Podcast Day and how people are promoting it and kind of where we want podcast to go. And as most of them said, that was interesting because they got to see, like they saw my screen. It was blasted on a projector, so they could see the little bit of chat that was going on between the hosts. So that was kind of cool. But, like I said, I wouldn't do that again. And I told them, I said, next meetup, we won't be doing that. I said, that's not a normal thing. I said, I just, you know, I was kind of one of the guys that helped put together National Podcast Day with, you know, myself and Steve and Ray and Daniel and Nick. So I kind of felt like I had to be part of that. And it was just bad timing at this point. But yeah, they gave me a list. In fact, let me give you, let me pull it up on my computer. They gave me a list, and it's like, okay, cool. They're like, you know, how do I add music? Where do I find Dave's ladies to sing for me? What do I need to do at the end of my podcast? Is it the same for everyone? Developing content. What am I going to produce next? When? What time is it? When do I need a mixer? Which most of this is just like, it's episode 236. It's episode 149. You know, can we see the famous Roland R-05? When are you going to bring it in? Which I had, but I just didn't bring it out. I love this one. Mom, Dad, I have to tell you something. I've been podcasting. How to tell your family what you're doing, why they have to be quiet.
They'll never understand.
And how to get them on board. And a bunch of other ones. Where do I get artwork at? How do I get found on iTunes? A lot of the kind of 101 stuff, which was cool.
That's great, though.
Yeah,
that's great. We had some discussions too. So we did ours on Monday mm-hmm. as opposed to Tuesday. That's just what worked out. And actually, I was hoping there was supposed to be a happy hour special. It ended. We set for 6:30. The happy hour ended at 6. So I ended up paying full price for hors d'oeuvres, which wasn't as cheap as I wanted it to be. But that being said, we had 4 show up for Omaha. So Ryan, I want to thank Ryan and Mike and Dave came out and joined me out at Bricks in Midtown Omaha. And it was really nice. It was actually nice enough to sit outside, and we did no tech. We just talked. And Ryan's actually the media director, the social media director for Union Pacific Railroad, which is headquartered here in Omaha. And so he had some great insight. They don't do a podcast, but he had some great insight on all the ins and outs of Facebook, which they are big. You know, he's a recruiter as well for Union Pacific. And so he shared with us what he's learned about Facebook and how to really – because to be honest with you, Facebook pages are just a mess, right? That's horrible on Facebook, and they hold you hostage, and you have to pay to boost. And full disclosure, you know, they spend some money on Facebook, and most podcasters don't want to. But so for us, we just went around and kind of shared. Mike is a newer podcaster here in the Omaha area, and actually, I think he's going to turn out to be a really good friend in the long run. So for me, it was just great to make some connections. And then I met a guy who I'd never met before he does kind of indie new music podcast and does it on a terrestrial radio station here. So he's got all that music stuff covered because it's on radio. Then has done a podcast and pod faded it and has recently come back and is in his first 30, as we like to call it, those first 30 episodes that get you kind of out of the solar system. So it was fun. I we're committed to try to meet monthly or every other month or so, and I'm just going to get those on the calendar, and we'll try and get the word out, and we'll make it less expensive next time. I mean, where we went, the beers were $5 and the hors d'oeuvres were $15. So it was a little, a little expensive. I could have bought a lot of pizza for what I bought just a few appetizers for. But that being said, let me encourage you as a podcaster. I think if you want to grow your audience some locally, host a meetup, host a podcaster, or what I'm calling it is podcasting and new media. That's kind of the so that new media covers Facebook and Twitter and blogging and all that other stuff. But to get the podcaster. So that's how I'm doing it.
That's not a bad idea. Expand your reach a little bit because it is.
Yeah.
It's like you said.
Ryan had no business. He has no interest in starting a Reunion Pacific podcast. It's just not for them. That's not their audience. Although for train enthusiasts, I've told him they ought to start one sponsored by Union Pacific. And all they do is get a bunch of old timers talking about trains. He posts a picture of a train on Facebook, and they get they'll get 40 retweets within an hour.
Wow.
People love those pictures, right? And so it's just one of the things he learned. I thought, when we talk about engagement on some of these social networks, even on blogs, it doesn't come down to what you write. It comes down to the picture you put on. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, really? Is it really? It really boils down to the picture? Yes. Right. And so we can get all high and mighty about how great our writing is or how great our podcasts are. That first human contact with the eye, and I don't do a very good job of this, lots of times boils down to the media that you put in there, that picture. That
Put
in there. So
absolutely.
Big important lesson.
Yep. I know Sergeant Fred in the chat room is mentioning Paul Culligan did a webcast on National Podcast Day. And Paul, again, is launching something like Podcast Expert Blueprint. Something. He did a live webinar. So there, Paul's another guy that's been in it forever. He's kind of come and gone. He went and played in YouTube for a long time, and now he's back playing in podcasting. He does that. We mentioned him earlier. He does the podcast report. So he did a webcast. There were a lot of things going on National Podcast Day that are bringing things up, but I didn't see it. I can't really comment on it. I didn't see his webcast. I haven't gone back and watched the review.
Unfortunately, it was a super busy week for me. The last 2 weeks I've been flying all over the country, and it just came at a bad time. And you would think, that would give you lots of time to watch the stuff. Well, I did listen to a lot of audio, but it was really hard moving in and out of airports and, moving around. I was speaking in a lot of different places. It's really hard to keep up with all that stuff when you're moving around Wi-Fi locations, and you get to the end of the day and you're just exhausted. And, so I didn't get to this year's National Meetup Day. That was – or National Podcasters Day. Not as good for me just because I was so busy with it. But would have loved to have done – did Daniel pull off a full day? Did he go live for a while and bring in people, or did that happen?
I know Dave – Steve Lee's son, Dave Lee, did something, and Daniel did something with them or in addition to them. It just seemed like everybody was streaming all day, and that's when I was like, I'm not going to get to see any of this stuff. And then it was a matter of getting – set up for the meetup, and I'm putting signs everywhere I didn't get to see half that stuff, but it was cool. It'd be interesting to see if nothing else, if it got 50 people going, what is a podcast again, then it was worth it to me. It was I know it was a lot of work for Steve, and I actually got an interview that was kind of interesting, that somebody had saw me on National Podcast Day and they wanted to talk to me about the good old days of podcasting.
Yeah.
So that was
Sergeant Fred said in chat, he said he tried new media. This goes back to the comment I made where I'm calling it podcasters and new media. He said he tried new media in a prior podcasters meetup and it became too broad with no one satisfied with the topics because the members wanted their specific themes for their pet social media topics. So I'm sticking with podcasters. Yeah, no, that's a risk for sure you run into by adding new media, but I'm hoping, and I'll learn this lesson myself, but by adding podcasters and new media, it was really helpful for me, in this case, to be able to have Ryan there, who's not a podcaster but an expert in the area of Facebook.
Yeah.
And so we as podcasters can benefit from that discussion. And so I asked Ryan, hey, would you come in and give us a presentation at some point? And he said, yeah. So I'm hoping that'll open it up, and then maybe if it gets big enough and we have just podcasters and new media or whatever,
just
we can
split
then divide
off.
At that point. Yeah, at that point. But Omaha, we're a small enough town. We can maybe pull that together. So I appreciate Sergeant Fred. I appreciate the feedback on that as well, and I'll monitor on it on this side.
Yeah. So if you want to join in on the conversation, It's super easy. That number is 845-262-2401. Again, it's 845-262-2401. And I should probably take this time, since we're somewhat at the midpoint, to remind you that this show is brought to you by the theschoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20, A-S-K-2-0, and get $20 off your initial sign-up fee at the School of Podcasting. And
Dave, can I jump in and say big thanks to Charles McFall? I did not do that last week, and he joined 2 weeks ago, right, and filled in the chair. So, Charles, thanks. I got a chance to go back and listen to that somewhere in between Omaha and Atlanta on Wednesday, and I just always appreciate the guys who fill in for me while I'm gone. So, Charles, thank you.
You know, the one thing that when I went to Podcast Movement that I see all the time at the gym, and I'm noticing it now, it's one of those things, it's almost like when you buy a car and you don't see any of that car until you buy it, and then everywhere you look, everybody's driving your car. Start noticing how many people are walking around in the grocery store, in Target, in Walmart, at the gym with earbuds. That's something that I just started noticing, and it's like, you know, when I was traveling, how many people were sitting there waiting for their plane with earbuds in? I was in Target, and I probably saw three people waiting in line with earbuds in. And I was like, that's kind of cool, because we're all, you know, they're listening to something. And, you know, it may be music, it may be podcast, it may be, you know, iHeartRadio or whatever. But it's just like, all right, that's another trend.
Let me give you, because of my podcast, it's not really that, but let me sneak this in real quick. So I'm on a flight from Gainesville to Atlanta yesterday, 2 days ago, Thursday. And I sit down next to a guy. We don't talk initially. And just as the plane's taking off, the pilot says something funny, and I make a comment to him, and we start talking. And I find out he works for Citrix, and he works in their ShareFile division. And, you know, of course, Citrix ShareFile is a big advertiser on podcasts, right? They go to my PC, go to my webinar. That's them. That's Citrix, right? So they're big podcast supporters. So I had a chance to say, oh, you know what? I've heard of ShareFile. And he's like, really? And so we started talking about Citrix and ShareFile and his business, and I started talking about how I podcast. And so, you know, I gave him an idea. He's like, hey, we're coming up with this hackathon. And I said, hey, we were looking at ShareFile for this particular solution, but it doesn't do this. Like, in other words, you can't sell, you know, with ShareFile, you can't charge for those files. And we have some PDFs here at Gallup and stuff. We have some material we want to either give away at $0 using the Microsoft terminology or charge for them. So we had this great conversation, but I got to have this really lengthy conversation about podcasting and you know, sharing this with him just on the plane. And I even pulled out my phone, and we talked about the difference between audio and video podcasting. He was not as into it, and so I got to kind of show him how far podcasting has come in what we're doing. And so I brought up I use BeyondPod on Android. And so I subscribe, by the way, tip for all podcasters, you should subscribe to all feeds to make sure they're working. And you should check them every time you post. That's just something you should do. I know it's tedious, but you should do. I brought up my audio and showed it to him, and I brought up the video and showed it to him and how you could download that. And then I talked about how we're doing it on YouTube and stuff. And so It was just a great podcast sharing moment to be able to. I mean, as a podcaster, I think you have to take advantage of every opportunity to share those kinds of things. And while he was familiar with it, we had a great conversation around podcasting. And he said, "Where's your site?" And I'm like, "At theaverageguy.tv." And he goes, "I think I've heard of that before. Have you?" Right, something along the lines. And in the end, he had me mixed up with somebody else. It was almost a magical moment for a second. But it's a great opportunity, those moments, to share that. You know, as we talk about National Podcast Day, you get a moment to share those opportunities with people. And you know what? I didn't have Average Guy TV cards on me at that point to be able to share it with. Now he took out his phone and he put it in a note.
Oh, sweet.
And decide, you know, he'll check it out later. But great opportunity there on the plane. So because I'm podcasting, I got that opportunity to share that and have this great conversation with this guy from Citrix, and you know, it was just fun. He had been recruiting with us there in Florida. You know, it was a big recruiting week for the school, and so it was just fun to interact that way.
Awesome. And Ryan, I have heard of this. Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com says, has anybody else noticed that iHeartRadio or Clear Channel has changed their name to iHeartMedia, not iHeartRadio? I saw that and I was like, interesting. I'm like, does that mean radio is a bad word? Or is there, are they just trying to, you know, expand their...
Well, we've had lots of discussions about that term radio. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some people who go, no, because it's old school and we want to be associated with new media and those kinds of things. And then I there's a population, like I consult on a podcast called Radio Higher Ed.
Mm-hmm.
And for their group, the people they're trying to reach, they're very Luddite. Right. They're not very technical, that group. Right. They just that group of higher ed. You think they are, but they're not. And so to them, the radio term makes sense. So it comes back to knowing your audience, right? Always starts at knowing your audience. And in this case, I think that was a brilliant move for them to go. Now, that being said, the reason they do a radio higher ed is because the mama of a daughter that I had on Spartan Radio way back in the day, 2011, 2012. I did a podcast called Spartan Radio around Spartan racing, right? Mm. And these were very – this was targeted at a very young audience. These were 20 and 30-somethings who go out on the weekends and jump through fire and throw spears and climb ropes and go across obstacles, right? It's this – if you've never heard of Spartan racing, just go – it's crazy, but just go check it out. So the daughter was on that podcast, and she referred her mom to me, and we started Radio Higher Ed. That being said, Spartan Radio worked, and even in that demographic, that title worked. And when we set it and when we tested it, people were like, "Oh yeah, I know what that is," and they weren't confused that we weren't on terrestrial radio at all. They saw this as, "Oh yeah, Spartan Radio," and so. You know, I know there's some folks in our groups that say you shouldn't use radio at all. Just like I heard Daniel say this again on the podcast the other day, and I think maybe he's joking, and maybe you can clarify that for me about not putting a radio or not putting a microphone in your album art, you know? And we continue to do it, and I think it's relevant. Not everybody should do it, and I think that's what the point he's trying to make there at that point.
Yeah, I think that's more of a pet peeve. Things,
yeah, maybe so, but it's one of those things that in some cases it makes sense, right?
And yeah.
I think it makes sense for podcasts about podcasting.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, unless you're a podcast about podcasting, don't put a microphone in here.
Right. Well, but there's probably some other demographics and some other, you know, podcasts where it makes sense. So that being said, I'm not trying to bust on Daniel, just trying to go back to what we talk about in our community here. Using that term radio may or may not be appropriate on based on your audience. And I think that's your call at the end of the day.
Joe, let me make sure I got the right name here. Yeah, Joe Taylor brought up Startup Podcast. Have you heard this yet? This is weird.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Startup, right? Or somebody mentioned Startup. Again, I've listened to 40 hours of podcasts in the last week. So.
Yeah,
and I'm the guy who's walking around with earbuds listening to podcasts on the road.
Well, it's weird because that's like the fourth person I've had in about a week say, "Have you heard of Startup Podcast yet?" And
it's on New and Noteworthy too, by the way. If you go to New and Noteworthy right now, it's on the front.
Now, granted, this is the producer of This American Life, and you can hear it at here as an HEAR startup.com. And it's a different style of podcasting. This is highly produced. The guy's recording conversations with his wife and phone calls, and it's almost like reality TV, but it's extreme storytelling. And it's fascinating. It's behind the scenes stuff, and he actually pitches his show. He's trying to get $1.5 million to start a network and find people who can tell stories, and then he'll provide the editors and the technical know-how and the producing skills to know how to tell the story. And it's interesting because he completely botches his first pitch. You hear him go through the uncomfortableness, if that's even a word, of getting a business partner. It's a really interesting show, and it's the story of a guy who wants to start a network of storytellers. So it's a really interesting show. And
in that genre of NPR, right, and what they're currently doing, the way they're doing, that's a great – man, that is great. They That is good stuff to listen to. Highly produced, and I've heard something like each show takes 90 hours of production to do.
I would believe it.
Yeah, but I mean, they've committed to it, right? I mean, and they've got the funding. And that's why it takes $1.5 million to do that kind of stuff, because it's very expensive in people's time and production hours and those kinds of things. But they are incredible podcasts. I've been listening to NPR's. Why is it escaping now? Probably their most famous podcast at the moment.
This American Life?
No, the other one.
Oh, Money Talk? Money no. Planet?
Shoot. Anyway, it'll come to me. You know how you have that? Like, you should know it, and you just don't, and it's just gone? it'll come to me here in just a second. But Radiolab. There we go.
Oh, yeah. I love that, by the way.
Oh, that was incredible.
That was another one that people kept saying, you don't listen to Radiolab? And I'm like, what's a Radiolab? And then some – people are telling me that I was like Radiolab. I'm like, because I interrupt my interviewer, and I'm like, no, I'm not like – I listen to Radiolab. I'm like, I appreciate the compliment. I am nowhere like Radiolab. We actually have a caller coming on.
Oh, good.
Ending in 8316. What's your name and what's your question? You are on with Dave and Jim.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Jim. It's Miss Eileen.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Always good to hear your voice.
Thanks. I'm calling. Actually, today I have a technical question.
All right.
And it has to do with Allphonic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm using that, and sometimes I find that, like if I'm recording in Audacity or, I'm creating a WAV file, and then I put it through Allphonic, I'm not sure the settings that are really right for my voice, maybe, because sometimes it's actually increasing my volume, and I'm not sure. Do you guys have any recommendations on the settings there?
Well, I know they have the intelligent leveler, which is the one that would boost your volume. It basically... What it does, in theory, is it's supposed to go through, boost your and level out your volumes, remove any kind of hiss or noise. It takes things that are especially below, I think it's like 200, what is it, 200 hertz? Is that the right? Basically, things that are extremely bassy, it just cuts them out because your voice isn't down in that register, so what's the point? I'm looking at their website here. What I would do... to answer your quick question, I have two options. I have one that has, like, everything, and then I have one that I think does everything, but I think one that's just adjusting the volume, and then I go in and remove the hiss. Record, like, a quick 1 minute of your voice and run it through, and because you get to rename the file and say, okay, here's, you know, file one, everything. File one, leveler, no noise reduction, and then just because – everybody's voice is different. And the other thing that you're going to run into is especially if you're doing interviews, I've run some things through Allphonic with two people doing an interview, and it'll be perfect. And then somebody else will go through and it gets that weird kind of watery
underwater sound.
Yeah. And it's like, well, that's so it's because it is kind of, it tries to be a one size fits all. And I know there's a lot of, analytics that it's doing behind the scenes, it doesn't always exactly, it's not always perfect. So I would try, if it's just you know, this is your podcast and it's usually just you talking, I would record, you know, like a little 1 minute snippet and run it through and just name the file, the settings that you used, and then go back and listen and vote with your ear.
Okay, because they have the four, I'm just looking at the very bottom section of like, say, if you were doing a preset, they have the adaptive leveler, filtering, loudness normalization, and noise and hum reduction, which, to be honest, I'm not sure the difference between, like, the adaptive leveler and the loudness normalization. Those two things almost sound like the same thing to me.
Yeah.
But apparently they're not. And then even on the... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the loudness normalization brings your audio up to, and this is where, if you listen to Ray Show, he interviewed the guy from Allphonic over at podcasters studio.com, and they get like neck deep in the specs of, I guess there's a loudness setting for radio. One is called ATSC A/85. The other one is EBUR128. Don't ask me what those mean. I just know it's a standard, and they're trying to get podcasters to get to this kind of level, because there's more to it than just chopping off my peaks. There's the overall loudness is something that this is supposed to help do. So I guess leveler balances the overall volume between, I guess, what's being said, and then this loudness tries to take, now that I've leveled it, let me adjust the overall volume to be loud enough for, you know, the specification in this case. So one.
Yeah, and then they have the loudness target. So, it seems like it's supposed to be very user-friendly, but then there's so many different options. I see the minus 16 lufs for podcast and mobile, but to me, that's the one that's not quite right for my voice. And I was thinking that maybe I should use the one that's minus 24 lufs that says TV and US. But, you know, I'll play around with it a little bit more, but I just wanted to know if you guys had specific recommendations or I don't even know if you use this.
I used to use it all the time until they started charging for it. And then I bought I bought the desktop version, and which again wasn't exactly cheap, but in the long run will save me money. The difference between the two, the web based version allows you to upload it to Libsyn and all these other places if you want to. You can actually set up an intro and an outro. You could record your voice with your phone, and it would stitch it into an MP3 and post it on Libsyn for you. Which is pretty cool if you're looking for, like, totally ease of podcasting. There's an easy solution. I had somebody who was sight impaired and was looking to podcast, and I'm like, I think that's your option. Because if you can hit record on your phone and talk, you're done. But no, I haven't really delved. I kind of just uploaded and was like, does this sound better than it did before I uploaded? And I was like, yeah. And I just kind of like, all right, I'll keep that. So I haven't really had time to dig in. Because especially when they're talking these lofts or whatever it is, I know, like I said, if you listen to Ray's show, they go pretty deep into the stuff. And to me, it's on my list of things of I need to learn more about this later when I want to become a sound engineer. But it was a little too deep at the time for me. And I was listening in the car and I needed to take notes. So, Jim, any insights into any of this fun-filled stuff?
No, that's not for me. That's not an area I dive into a lot. I think I'd just be making stuff up. Just being honest. Yeah.
Well, I love the service.
Yeah, I did actually. I listened to the both episodes, I believe, of where Ray interviewed the fellow who's in charge of this, and I was able to get like bits and pieces and of understanding. And I know from Mike Russell's show that they're working on the loudness standard and trying to bring standards into the whole audio processing thing. I hope they're successful with that, because it is annoying when you're listening to one podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You got to turn everything down, or then you got it all the way up for the other one, and then the next one's blaring in your ears, especially for people who have loud music. Yeah. Nobody that we know. But anyway, you know, it's kind of jarring on your eardrum there. But in any event, thank you so much for your feedback that you had with this.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, it's I'm with you. I almost unsubscribed from a podcast. It was a new guy, and he's a manager of, well, I'll just throw him out. His name's Barry Katz. He does I would have to look at my phone. Industry Standard podcast. And when he first started out, he was, I think he still is, holding the microphone, and so is his guest, and they would inevitably move the mic away, and all of a sudden somebody would be way too loud, and then the next guy would be way too soft. And I think they have that now figured out. But there was a while when I was like, every time Barry talked, my car would just rattle because it was so loud, and then you'd have to like listen to his guest, and I was like, oh, they've got to get that fixed. So hopefully, I completely understand when you're talking about different volume levels. It is kind of annoying. Awesome. Is she?
All right. I think Eileen, thanks for calling in. Oh.
Okay. You guys take care. Have a great weekend.
Yep.
All right. You too.
Always good to hear from Miss Eileen.
Yeah. Good to have her back in. Dave, we are...
are we up against it, aren't we? Wow.
We are.
Are you kidding me? Man, that went incredibly fast.
I even had one more question real quick. And,
okay.
And maybe this will be something that, folks can go out to the post at askthepodcastcoach.com and put in their favorite. So Mike Wieger, one of our Omaha podcasters that showed up, has been he started on Squarespace and has run into some problems with, you know, you can host audio over there but not video. It's a struggle at Squarespace. Mm-hmm. And so I turned him on to Azure is the back end, WordPress is the front end. He's got that all running. But he's asking about themes. And so if you have your favorite theme that, you know, everybody's got a favorite theme, we could talk do a whole show on that. But head over to askthepodcastcoach.com. Find this show, and it'll be the one probably. It takes Dave a week or so to get it out there, but find the show and post your favorite themes out there. Mike, there are a ton of them, and there are as many opinions out there about them as possible.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what episode number this one will be. This will be 47, so askthepodcastcoach.com/47. And I'm telling you, I've been on the pursuit of the perfect theme for a long time. Ever since I kind of dumped Thesis, I cannot find – and there's a ton of them, and they're all getting almost too rich in features. Like, yeah, everybody's doing this drag-and-drop page builder thing, and I'm like, look, this is – I just needed to change the colors, do this, do that, and it's – it's
And Mike Howard, we've talked about his before. He likes Arveda, and if you go to theaverageguy.tv, you see Meso columns, M-E-S-O columns, and that's a great one. I've liked that for this kind of modular setup, that the way I have it, and especially for podcasters. So everybody's got an opinion. Put yours out there on the post.
Yeah, there's I'll be hopefully by next week be able to give a review. Joey from Appendipity Themes has a new one that I'm beta testing that's supposed to be, again, a little more flexible than some of their other stuff. You'll be able to change colors, and it's designed for people with multiple podcasts even, which is kind of cool, and I haven't had a chance to really kick the tires on it.
Brian Parker says he likes Get Noticed Theme by Michael Hyatt. Bill Conrad, of course, Genesis Framework with Dynamic.
That is what Ask the Podcast Coach is using, I believe, right now.
Appendipity is what Jason is doing.
Yeah.
Michael Dell says something interesting, too, as we wrap this, that, well, one, it's really good to be out here live. So if you're listening to the recorded version, you should join us Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. But he also says don't overthink your theme. And I think that's a great, you know, I think that's great advice. Don't get too crazy. That's one of those things that can stall you from starting your podcast,
yeah,
is the theme, right? Yeah. So just get something. Use 2014 theme.
Yeah.
And get that rolling, right? Although I hate that one. But use something and get rolling.
Yeah, because you can a lot of people forget this. There may be a lot of your listeners that never, ever see your website.
Right.
They find you on iTunes and
they see it once.
Yeah.
They see it once and they never come back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they're listening to your stuff and they're finding community that way. I don't think the theme's that important, to be honest with you. I mean, a good looking site is important. A good functioning site is important.
Yeah.
You don't want to have them get there and go, ugh.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
But that being said,
it might come into play with if you're going to do sponsorship later, because that first impression when they pull up your site and they're thinking, should I give this guy some money or girl?
Yeah, I'd say start simple.
Yeah.
And get complicated, right? Just start simple. Just get some things rolling. And we had who was the guy we had that met you at Podcast Movement? That kid was on the show. I'm forgetting his first name.
I can see Matt Lovell.
Matt. So Matt's in. Matt's a great example of super simple start. He just got it rolling.
Yeah.
And Matt, by the way, I'm waiting for your second podcast.
Yeah, I need to poke him.
yeah. He said it was almost there, and it's not out yet. One is not enough.
Yeah.
You need two.
Yeah, he travels a lot. That's going to be tough for him. He'll be doing the Alphonic on his phone or Boss Jock or something like that. Down on the way. So awesome.
Sounded like he had a good plan. So
yeah,
Matt, maybe I'm missing something, but I'd like to hear your second podcast.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I want to say thanks to everybody in the chat room. I want to say thanks to everyone who has wished me well and said congratulations, Dave, as you walk into the meat grinder. that is going to be New Media Expo.
You are. Congratulations, by the way.
And, you know, we are here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And so if you're listening to this later, you can join us live. If not, as always, you can Find me at schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. If you have a question, we can always ask her it. I just made up a new word. We can always answer it later. And Jim, where can everybody find you?
TheAverageGuy.tv.
And you can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. Now, everyone dance.